And so as we come today, we must realize that all of this is for God's glory. Man's, here are these enemies, I've got to deal with them. And he goes in his own strength without prayer, and he's defeated. Now let me tell you, that'll happen in your life too. And you will soon discover that without grace, without God's power in your soul, and without his blessing, that all your efforts are failures.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and today again we're continuing our message on living for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And that's the burden of our heart today, that men and women may be brought by grace to, firstly, a true conversion in Jesus Christ, a true understanding of the Word of God, and then an obedient heart to walk in the light of that Word. Now, we call that growth in knowledge, growth in grace. A lot of people have a zeal, but it's not a zeal according to knowledge. And so we're turning to this text today in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and we are searching the Scriptures on what the Bible has to say. Stay with us. We're turning firstly to our tune of music, Satisfied. Are you satisfied?
My life long I had panted for a drink from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Hallelujah, I have found him whom my soul
And we take those words of our Lord Jesus to heart. He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so the person who's living sola dea gloria will live a life of prayer, a life of real personal communion with the Lord. Grace and faith in the power of the Spirit, it sets true converts a-praying. Now we're commanded by our Lord to pray without ceasing. He says men ought always to pray and not to faint. That in all things by prayer and supplication we're to let our requests be made known unto God. And of course we soon learn through our failures that only what's done by prayer in the strength of the Lord and not on our human flesh, we soon learn that only what's done through prayer achieves anything. When you read the life of King David, and all the enemies and the battles that he fought, every time that an enemy came against him and he prayed, Lord, shall I go up against these Philistines? Shall I go up against these enemies? What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord told him exactly what to do every time he conquered. But then there are times when David didn't pray and the enemy came out and David just assumed it was time to go to battle. Here are these enemies, I've got to deal with them. And he goes in his own strength without prayer and he's defeated. Now, let me tell you, that'll happen in your life too. And you will soon discover that without grace, without God's power in your soul, and without his blessing, that all your efforts are failures. And you will soon come to the point, through grace, through this desire to glorify God in your life, you will come like the disciples and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And you as a Christian, you must go into the school of prayer. There is a new school of prayer for every Christian where you must learn to lay hold on God, to plead with God, to lay hold on God's promises, to make them personal to you. The Lord says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And without a life of prayer, you cannot live the sola deo gloria life. You're still living confident in the flesh. And let me tell you, the further you go on in your Christian life, the more you will learn to rely on the Lord and not on yourself. It's not a matter of building yourself up, the ABC building blocks of the Christian life, and then you stand on the plateau and there you have victory all the time. No. You realize that you're walking on marshy ground and every step has new dangers and new possibilities of falling, and you need to live a life of prayer, and you need to live in the grace and the power of God. Now, let me ask you, are you doing that? Are you a person living for God's glory? Have you realized the need to be a man or woman of prayer, real prayer, earnest prayer? I don't think anyone could say, I'm living solo Deo Gloria for the glory of God alone, if they're not daily in prayer. You couldn't do that. That would just be impossible. Now, the third thing we come to is that the person who's living for God's glory is a purpose-driven man or woman. Now, we refer to the unconverted man as a lost soul because he's going to a lost hell. And he's like a prodigal. The unconverted person is a prodigal, and the word prodigal simply means waster. He's wasting his life, he's wasting his time, he's wasting his gifts, and he'll come to a sad, bitter end. That's the life of being a prodigal. Now, the opposite to being a prodigal, and by the way, the Greek word just puts the negative in front of this word, save. The prodigal saves nothing. He's a waster. He doesn't save anything. He wastes everything. But once you're a Christian, you're a saver. And you now have a purpose. And the blessings that God gives you, whether it's financial, assets, business, home, family, the good things that God gives you in your life, you want to make proper use of them. You now are the purpose-driven person. I want to use everything to the glory of God. Now, there are two Bible texts that come to my mind when I think of this. Number one is Psalm 1, the man planted by the water, the tree planted by the water, the river's edge. There's a symbol of the person living solo Deo Gloria, enjoying life on the river's edge, and his leaf shall not wither, and everything he does shall prosper, as the solo Deo Gloria man. The other text that comes to my mind is Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. There is the purpose-driven man. And so what's he going to do? He's going to search the Scriptures. He's going to be a Bible-focused man. And everything he wants to do, he wants to know the will of God. He wants to prove what is God's will. And what will bring God glory by my decisions and actions in life. Now, let me ask you, are you a Bible student? It really comes down to the discipline, the joy, but the rigor of studying your Bible. You're not growing in your Bible and Bible knowledge. You can't say that you're living solo Deo Gloria. Let me ask you, did you bring your Bible to church today? I would hate the day that this congregation comes to church without a Bible. I know of churches, they don't use Bibles anymore. I don't know what the preacher does, but the people just don't seem to feel a need for the Bible. I would really, really be so discouraged if people came to God's house and didn't bring their Bible. You see, the whole call of worship, the whole call of preaching, it's to be a Word-centered, Bible-centered ministry that sends people away with the knowledge of God's will for your life. And if the preacher has not set that out in some way or manner, then it becomes a mindless, purposeless, useless exercise. The Psalm 123 gives a very clear picture of this, that as a servant looks at the face of his master or the hand of his master, Psalm 123, verse 2, you can look this up sometime. It is the servant looking at the hand of his master. Now, you can picture someone, I don't know, they're basket weaving, carpentry work, embroidery, whatever it is. And there is the servant sitting close by, and at every new phase of work, maybe the master needs a new tool, and maybe he needs a new thread, a new ball of wool, new supply of some kind. And the servant, by daily exercise, gets to know the routine. And so that at every step, You know, well, pass me this, pass me the other thing. Now, will you stand over there? Get me this, get me that. It becomes an interaction that's natural. The servant learns exactly what's next needed. I suppose it's like our modern experience would be a dental assistant. You know, when you're lying there back there and your face is up to the ceiling and he's working right in your mouth, if the dentist needed to explain every little step to the assistant, oh, I need you to do this and do it in a certain way, the right size, the right shape, the right time, it would become a laborious thing. But when people are working together, they get to know what the need is. Now, if you are living for God's glory, and if you're in tune with God, and if you're in His Word, you will become as that servant looking to the hand of your master, ready to serve. You will know the mind of God, and you will know the very will of God. Now, we've been warned to be not just doers of God's Word, not just hearers of it, but doers. And the Lord Jesus taught that it's not they that say, Lord, Lord, but those that doeth His word are likened to the wise man that built his house on the rock. That's our sermon for tonight, by the way. That's going to be the message tonight. Building for eternity against the floods of this world. And if I may say to you, Christian, there's going to be floods that'll come against you. The enemy will come in like a flood. And it's not those who say, Lord, Lord. It's those who are doers of His word that are like the wise man building on the rock. And so the man who lives in Sola Deo Gloria, he will be a Bible-based Bible student because it will make him purpose-driven. Gives him a reason to live. And in the major decisions of life, and indeed in even the smaller things, why are you doing this? And husbands and wives, this comes into your marriage. Why are we doing this? The first reason should be the glory of God. And our wife might say, I don't like this. And the husband might say, I don't like it either. But it's for the glory of God. And that becomes the unifying factor in our decisions, in our walk, in our every step of life, that we might glorify Him.
Sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust I'd gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry.
Now, time's going on, so I want to get to the next one here, and that is, he lives as a practical, godly man. Because he's pardoned, because he's praying, because he is now Bible or purpose-driven, he becomes a practical, godly Christian. As a worker, well, the Bible says, if he will not work, neither shall he eat. This is not a recipe for laziness and for taking the shortcut. This is what our text says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As a husband, what kind of husbands should we be? And we are told in the Scripture, as Christ loved the church, we're to love our wives. You want to live Sola Deo Gloria? It gets to as practical as this. To love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now that was a sacrificial love. It was not a love that insisted His way. No, the Lord laid down His life for the church. He surrendered His all for the church. And men, this becomes the practical godliness that's expected of us. As a father, the burden of every father will be the conversion of his children, and that his children walk and live for the glory of God. And when we see our children turn from that, when we see our children reject that pathway that has a single eye to God's glory, it is the greatest grief. It becomes the greatest burden to us. Not because it's our pride, not because it's our show, but because we see our own children, whom we have sought to teach and train and walk in the light of God's word, they turn from that, they go the way of the world or the way of their own devices, that becomes a burden and a great grief. Also, as a helper to others, the Sola Deo Gloria Christian, the one thing that you want to be is a help to God's children. In fact, you would pray like this, Lord, if I'm getting in the way, if I'm hindering, take me out of the way. Don't let me stand as a hindrance to another Christian, causing him to fall, causing him to be discouraged. The person who's living for God's glory with a purpose-driven, practical godliness, we want to be useful to God. We want to bring glory to his name. And if there's anything that causes us to stop the blessing, the fellowship, the friendship, we want to deal with it. Now, I'm going to ask you right now, is there anything in your life that's causing grief to another Christian? Anything that you are purposely doing to bring down a brother or a sister? You say, Pastor, come on, how would I do that? Stopping to pray for them, becoming critical, getting to the point where you really have no fellowship, no friendship. You do your duty, but you don't come with that loving embrace and that warm friendship that ought to encourage your brother and sister out of the love of Christ. We need to search our hearts on that. If you're living sola Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone, you'll not want to be that hindrance of a brother or sister or the work of God or the testimony of the Lord Jesus, but rather you'll want to lift them up, help them up, and you'll pray, Lord, make me useful. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now the fifth one is the Sola Deo Gloria person will be a persevering Christian. Persevering. Do all to the glory of God. Do it daily. Do it fully. Do it right to the end. There's never a time when this text doesn't apply to us. We can't say, well, I'm too old now. It's too late now. No, there's never a time when this doesn't apply. And of course, Satan wants us to give up. And there are times when in the Christian life you're beaten and harassed by the enemy, and the attitude would be, it would be better, it would be easier to give up. But if we are in the place where we're serving God in his will, and our burden is to glorify him, then you can't give up. You can't give up. You can't surrender. You can't turn back. Our Lord Jesus warned us, he that looketh back cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, plowing is not easy. Plowing is a very strenuous task. And it's tedious to be a plowman. And someone has said that the Lord is not looking for racehorses in his church. He's looking for plow horses. And there's a difference between the racehorse and the plow horse. The racehorse, of course, he gets to the starting line and it's just a short whiz of speed and that's it. The race is run or he's done his best. But the plow horse, his task is to trod the furrows day after day after day to plow that straight furrow. And the Lord used that picture as the Christian life. And we are called to plow a straight furrow in this life. And there are many times when you would want to look back. Now, you know the plowman, he looks back. He can't plow a straight furrow. Once you start looking back, you've lost sight of the goal. So we can't look back. If you look back, you become defeated. You've got to keep your eye upon the Lord. And it's for His glory that we plow on and serve Him with all of our heart and with all of our strength. We read in the Bible of a man called Demas, having loved this present evil world, he turned back. What a discouragement he was to the Apostle Paul and to many others. Now, Christian, just think about this. Once you start looking back, and once you turn back, you become a discouragement to God's people. You lose sight of the goal of living sola Deo gloria. And that's because the Christian life is not all about me. It's not all about the preacher. It's not all about the deacon. It's not all about the Sunday school teacher or the members or the attendees of the church. It's not about the individual. It's about the glory of God. It's the glory of God. And that has to be our goal. And I want you to take this text to heart today. I want you to take it home with you. Perhaps you could write it out in large letters and put it on your fridge. Put it in your notebook. Put it in the steering wheel of your car, if you will. Here's a text to live by, and it's going to make you a different man or woman. You'll never live the old life again. And whatever the challenges, whatever the crossroads, whatever the issues you face, this maxim, this truth, I'm living for God's glory, it's going to change you. It's going to affect you in each and every way. And so I leave this with you today, and I pray that you will pray much about it and pray over it. And may it be a truth that will grow in us and a change that will grow in us. When it comes, why do we come to worship? Should I come back to the evening service in the church at 5:30 to the prayer meeting and to the evening service? Should I be here? Well, let me ask you, what will glorify God? That's the answer. What will bring glory to God? Sitting at home doing other things or coming back to the house of God to worship Him? Should we be at the prayer meeting of the church? Well, the question is, what will bring glory to God? What will help me to live better equipped, better in tune with Him, and bring glory to His name? Should I go on outreach? Should I help those that are giving out the gospel? Should I talk to my neighbor about the gospel? Should I set aside certain times of my life that I get into this Bible? Well, the answer has to be, what will bring glory to God? And if you're convinced that it doesn't bring glory to God, then don't do it. Otherwise, if you're convinced that it does glorify God, then it becomes the very principle upon which we live. May the Lord bless you today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for hearing this message. I pray the Lord will use it in all of our lives. And pray for me. Pray for me as your pastor, that I will become a man in my preaching, in my praying, in my work as a pastor, that I will work not for some man-centered agenda, but truly for the glory of God.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. Our message today, I trust, has been a practical message to enlighten you on the need for practical godliness. The gospel, of course, is objective. Christ's work on the cross is finished. There is nothing more to add to it for our salvation. But we are called to a life of holiness, to live unto God and not to self. And this is all a part of bringing glory to God's name. And there's nothing more practical than seeking to live for God's glory. And that now becomes the question in all the decisions of life. Will this pathway, will this decision bring glory to God? It is no longer about self or self-gratification. It is about honoring the Lord and doing the thing that will bring praise to His all-worthy name. Now, in the message today, I mentioned about grief over straying children. And I think every parent understands that heartache. Every godly parent who raises their children in the fear of the Lord And then to see them take the privileges and the benefits of life, and indeed the benefits of the Christian life that they have been raised in, to go and serve the world or to serve self, that indeed is a burden. And it causes us to go to our knees to pray that God in mercy will redirect them and convert them to serve Him. And that now becomes the prayer of the parent, that we pray for our children. Lord, not only will you open their eyes and give them a profession of faith, but Lord, we pray that you will take their lives and bring glory to your name through their service, their walk, their work, whatever field of life they're following, that they will honor the Lord in all things. And of course, our desire is that we become personally a help to God's children. That's the other point that was made in the message here today. And there's no Christian that would say, Lord, allow me to be a hindrance. No, no. Rather, we pray against that. We pray, Lord, keep me from being a hindrance, and let my walk and my testimony, my service for the Lord, encourage and strengthen God's people everywhere. I wonder, are you doing that? Is that your daily prayer? Lord, make me a blessing. Keep me from being a hindrance. And you should take your Bible and read every day with that question in mind and with that prayer. Lord, keep me from being a hindrance to the glory and honor of Christ and to the work of the gospel. The other thing that was mentioned in the message here today, and that is, will you confess to pulling down a brother or a sister? And if you're not building them up, if you're not praying for them, if you're not helping them along, then out of maybe doing nothing, you are pulling them down when you ought to be there to help them along and to be a strength to them in the cause of the gospel. So these are just some practical aspects of applying the message today. And it's very important when we hear God's word that we meditate on it, we think it over, and we apply it to our hearts. May the Lord, by His Spirit, work that in you today, that the Lord's word will bring forth much fruit in your life. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Call me, please, at 604-897-2040. For all the details of our broadcasts across Canada, go to ltbs.ca.
This broadcast comes to you today from the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, located at 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you can find gospel articles, links to our sermons, a gospel booklet called A New Beginning, and a link to watch our services online. You're warmly invited to attend any of our Sunday services at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. to meet with us as we worship God and to hear the preaching of His precious word. We also meet for Bible study and prayer every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Our Sunday School for Children and Adult Bible class meet every Lord's Day at 9:30 a.m. from September to June. You can contact us at 604-567-1091. Alternatively, you can email me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. Again, for all this information, please visit our website at cloverdalefpc.ca. Our burden is that you will hear and understand the gospel that will bring you to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His great salvation. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton. Thank you for listening today. And be sure to listen Monday to Friday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our one-hour church service as we worship the Lord through the ministry of His Word.